This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
the bottom one.
Yeah, where one comes, so should I? Ayo. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم الخامس من شهر المحرم 1445 الموافق ل 11 من شهر جولاي 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لابن كثير ويرفع درجته في العليين. So inshallah today we continue from where we stopped last درس. If you remember during the last class we talk about the saying of Allah سبحانه وتعالى وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة قالوا أتجعل فيها من يسر فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this ni'matul ijad and also the fadl that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put on human beings after creating their father Adam alayhi salam, and the discussion that took place between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels before the creation of Adam alayhi salam. Allah told us that He told the angels that He is going to put on earth Khalifa, and last week we mentioned that Khalifa is not referring to Adam alayhi salam specifically doing the khilafa, but the word khalifa is referring to the nature of the human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them as, you know, a creation that replaces each other. So this replacement is supposed to take place in the best way. And that's why some of our predecessors, when they talk about this ayah, they talk about the khilafah and the conditions of the khilafah and who is supposed to be the Khalifatul Muslimin. So we dealt with this last week. So today, inshallah, we move on to the next ayah. When the angels told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَتَجَعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِلُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that I'm going to put Khalifa on earth, they said, why do you put somebody who is going to do corruption on earth and also cause bloodshed, you know, amongst them? وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. If the creation of these entities is for the purpose of worship, we do the worship. نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. We are doing it day and night, you know, non-stop. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the heavens. He said, أَطَتْ السَّمَاءُ حُقَّ لَهَا أَنْ تَأْتِ. He said, he found the heavens producing that sounds of somebody or something that's overburdened by something. He said, it really has a right to be in this position, because I couldn't find a place where somebody can put his foot except that there is an angel, Sajid and Auraqia. So the angels, they are there worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. So they said, ya Allah, if the purpose is the ibadah, we do that. وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know what you don't know. I know what you don't know. So the angels are not objecting, you know, out of hasad of Adam, you know, getting this blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or having some objection, you know, against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed. No, not at all. It's just about curiosity. Yeah, curiosity. What exactly is the purpose of creating this entity? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know what you don't know. قال الله عز وجل, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after telling the angels, I know what you don't know, and this is the ultimate fact, yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, he taught Adam al-asma' kullaha. You know, asma' kullaha, asma'ul ashiya. There are different opinions among the scholars. What are exactly these names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam? The names of what? Some of them said these are the names of his children, human beings one after the other, names of animals. Some of them said names of malaika. Some of them said this and that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it general. He said, al-asma'a kullaha, the names of everything. Meaning everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that Adam should know, he taught him the name of those things that will probably exist with him, the names and their actions and their shakl, the way they look also. Yeah, this one looks like this and the name of this is this. This one looks like that and the name of it is this. So it is too general. There is nothing from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to specify one opinion over the other one. So allamahu Allahu azza wa jalla al-asma'a kullaha. So this is the best approach, as Ibn Kathir says, was sahih, annahu allamahu asma' al-ashya' kullaha, dhawatiha wa sifatiha wa af'aliha. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him the names of everything. You know, everything with no exception. You know, of course, Adam doesn't have the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so those things which yumkinhu an yata'allamaha, you know, those things that Adam can learn, because the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing can be equal to that knowledge. You know, so if you say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him everything That doesn't work. Nobody is saying this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him about names of things that exist. This is this, this is that, and this look like this, and this look like that. This is the nature of this, this is the nature of that. You know, and these are the activities that this type of thing will be doing. So al-asma'u kullaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him. And we got this also generalization in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam qala, anna Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam qala, yajma'u Allahu al-mu'minina yawm al-qiyamah fayaquluna law istashfa'na ila rabbina fayatuna Adama فيقولون أنت أبو الناس خلقك الله بيدك وأسجد لك ملائكته. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, this is a hadith of الشفاعة المشهور. Anas ibn Malik, خادم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يجمع المؤمنون أو يجتمع المؤمنون. Sorry, يجتمع المؤمنون. The believers will gather in a place. The believers will gather in a place. And this is on the day of judgment. That's why he says يوم القيامة يجتمع المؤمنون يوم القيامة فيقولون لو استشفعنا إلى ربنا. So they will have a meeting, the believers. They will sit in a place, you know, and then they will have a meeting amongst themselves. And the purpose of the meeting is to see how to remove this hardship, you know, and difficulties of the day of judgment. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on that day, the hardship and difficulty will reach its peak. And tadunu shams, the sun will come to the lowest level it can be to humankind. You know, qadra meal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, just like 1 mile. You know, some interpreted the meal to be the stick that you put in the eyeliner to get the black thing to put on the eyes, that small thing. So that's the distance between the head of the people and the sun. But most likely it's meal, you know, the distance, you know. So even if it is 100 kilometers, this is, you know, too hot for human being to handle, because right now the sun is too far from human beings, right? Hundreds of thousands of kilometers between them and the sun. But you can see how hot is the sun in some places, you know, something that people cannot bear it, you know, that much. But on the day of judgment, it will come closer, very close to the people, you know. So when it comes like that, and the difficulty and the hardship will be at its peak. So this is a time when the believers will start thinking of what to do. You get it? The believers will start thinking of what to do. Yeah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they will gather in one place on the day of judgment, and they will be talking to themselves, why can't we look for somebody to intercede for us with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why can't we look for somebody to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us ease from this hardship and difficulty? فَيَأْتُونَ Adam. So they will agree to go to Adam alayhi salam, you know, basically because Adam was the first human being that existed, the first one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a law. So the first one that comes to their mind was Adam alayhi salam. So فَيَأْتُونَ Adam, they will go to Adam alayhi salam. فيقولون أنت أبو البشر, you are the father of human beings. So that's Adam, salawat Allah wa salamu alayhi. It was the Abu al-Bashar. Abu al-Bashar means the father of human beings. So that's the aqidah of al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah bil-ijma' aqidah al-Muslimin. You know, bil-ijma' aqidah al-Muslimin, that Adam is Abu al-Bashar, the father of human beings. So it's not an issue of ikhtilaf, you know, for us to sit and talk about it, as one of them was saying that fi ikhtilaf. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yahdihu wa aqlahu. And in the terms of the origin of human beings, there is no ikhtilaf here. Adam is the first human being, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him not from monkeys, you know, or from any other creation. Allah created him from the clay. He was the first human being. So they will tell him, anta abul bashar, you are the father of Al-Bashar. Bashar means human beings. خَلَقَكَ اللَّهُ بِيَدِهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you with his own hands. Subhanallah. وَأَسْجَلَ لَكَ مَلَائِكَتَهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels to make sujood for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels to make sujood for you. وَعَلَّمَكَ أَسْمَاءَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught you the names of everything. Yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught you the names of everything. So we already know that everything, it doesn't mean like everything, right? Those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that Adam will know within the limitation of human beings, because not every time when kullu shay'in is mentioned, it means kullu shay'. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what would it mean? Kullu shay'in, tudammiru kullu shay'in, it destroys everything. But then at the same time, he says, فَأَصْبَهُ لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَاكِنُهُمْ. It destroys everything, but then he said, you see nothing in that place except the houses. Houses also are kullu shay'. But why isn't it being destroyed? So we learn from this that تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ يَعْنِي قَابِلًا لِلتَّدْمِيرِ بِالرِّيَاحِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that there are certain things which cannot be destroyed by the wind. You know, according to the system we know in this dunya, the mountains, no matter how much strong is the hurricane and the wind, it doesn't move the mountains from their position. It moves human beings, move aeroplanes, move, destroy houses. But it doesn't destroy the mountains and take them from their position to another position. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that wind that was sent, it was sent for those criminals, you know, against those criminals. So it destroys everything with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَصْبَهُ لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَاكِنُهُمْ. You know, you don't see anything except their houses. So back to the hadith of Adam. وَعَلَّمَكَ أَسْمَاءَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. So they would tell Adam, Allah taught you the names of everything. The names of everything. فَاشْفَعَ لَنَا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. So, حَتَّى يُرِحَنَا مِن مَكَانِنَا هَذَا. They were asking, please intercede for us with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we can get relief from staying in this position. So they decided to remind him about who he was, because they want him to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they knew what is going on that day. So that's why they have to say something that will convince him, to remind him about his closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe he will accept the request. So when they told him this, قَالَ إِنِّي لَسْتُ هُنَاكَ. He will tell them in another narration, إِنَّ رَبِّي قَدْ غَضِبَ الْيَوْمَ غَضْبًا لَمْ يَغْضَبْ قَبْلَهُ مِثْلَهُ وَلَنْ يَغْضَبْ بَعْدَهُ مِثْلَهُ. He will tell them that, my Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Rabb, is angry today. And this anger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never been like this. And he will never be like this. Yeah, subhanAllah, if you understand how much, you know, ma'asi people are committing nowadays, and how much people are going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his sharia, you will understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry on the day of judgment. So Allah will bring people to that place and neglect them. Yeah, because of the behavior of who? Our behaviors. You know, whatever has been done to us on that day, Allah, we deserve much more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not holding people accountable of every single thing they're doing. So, وَلَوْ يَأْخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِظُلْمِهِمْ مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّىٰ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to hold people responsible of every single tiny thing they're doing, there will be nobody who will remain on earth. If Allah is to hold us responsible of every single tiny thing we are doing, there will be no life on earth. Everyone has to go. You know, وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّىٰ. But Allah doesn't do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give people respite up to the appointed term when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to hold them responsible of what they are doing. So they reminded Adam about his closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he would tell them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really angry today, and therefore I cannot approach him. Lestu hunak. He would tell them, I cannot do this for you. Wa yadhkuru dhanbahu faystahi. So he will remember his sin that he committed. What was the sin that Adam committed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him not to eat from the tree, right? And he ate from the tree. What tree is that? We will hear, inshallah, in the next few ayat, inshallah. But he will remember this one, and he will be shy of approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering this, you know, one sin. But he is shy of approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as this sin is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive the sin. Right? فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ وَهَدَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ وَهَدَى. But when he remembers what he did, he will be shy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to approach him with any request. He will tell them, Allah is angry today, and he told me last time not to do this, and I did. And then he will tell them, فَيَقُولُ إِئْتُ نُوحًا فَإِنَّهُ أَوَّلُ رَسُولٍ بَعَثَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ. He will tell them, go to Nuh alayhi salam. So since he cannot do the shafa'a, he will suggest somebody to do it for us. And that was Nuh alayhi salam. And he will tell us, Nuh, I'm suggesting Nuh because he was أَوَّلُ رَسُولٍ بَعَثَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ. The first Rasul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the people of earth. Nuh was the first Rasul, not first Nabi. Yeah, there is a difference between Rasul and Nabi. Nabi is man uhi ilayhi wa lam yu'mar bi tablighihi wa amaluhu laysa fi khasiyati nafsihi faqat wa innama huwa tablighu an-nas. The difference between a prophet and a messenger, a prophet is sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a message, and Allah doesn't command him to go and convey the message to others. He will not go and tell them, Allah sent me with this and that to you. You get it? However, this is not to say that he doesn't share the good with others. No. His job is like what the scholars are doing in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amr al-Ma'ruf wa Nahy al-Munkar. Although he might not go to the people and tell them, Allah sent me to you, but at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command him to go and fix things which are not being done in a proper way. You get it? Do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that. Between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get it? This is the Nabi. The difference between this one and the Prophet, both of them are teaching people. Both of them are teaching. But Rasul will go to people and tell them, Ana Rasulullah ilaykum. Allah sent me to you. That's Rasul. You get it? And usually these ones are sent to people who are kuffar. Yeah, usually people who are kuffar, Rasul. So Nuh was the first one. Because before Nuh, there was no shirk. There were ma'asi, right? People, did they commit ma'asi before Nuh alayhi salam? Yes, they do. Ibn Adam, one of them killed the other one. You get it? So there are some ma'asi, but not shirk at all. They don't commit shirk. You get it? They committed ma'asi, but they don't commit shirk. That's why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, Abdullah ibn Abbas said, between Nuh and Adam, Asharatu Qurun, Qala kulluha ala tawheed. And this is the reference in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Kana nas ummatan wahidatan. People used to be one nation. Umma wahida means upon the tawheed. As Abdullah ibn Abbas said, people used to be upon the tawheed for 1,000 years. Actually, 2,000 years, from the time of Adam alayhi salam up to the time of Nuh alayhi salam. They used to be upon tawheed. No shirk. Nobody was committing shirk. Up to the moment, the people of Nuh came and they committed shirk. And that shirk also has a history. Because when the righteous people amongst them in the time of Nuh alayhi salam, when the righteous people amongst them died, they decided to make statues of the righteous people with good intention. Their intention was to see them and remember them. Yeah, they see that this is what Uswa, wa Yaghuth, wa Nasra, they see them, and they remember them, because these are Asma'u Rijalin Salihin. These are names of righteous people, actually. You get it? So they make the statues of them with the purpose of seeing them and remembering them. فَطَالَبِهِمُ الْعَهْدِ. You know, when the parent who did that were gone, back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the children came, the knowledge was off, Shaitan came to them and told them, oh, you know that your foreparents, actually they have these statues, you know, to put them as intermediaries between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how it begins. You get it? Yeah. That's why a person, you know, should always be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sticking to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you are to introduce your own wisdom, your own way, you will be falling into the trap of Shaitan very easily. But if you are that person who is always trying to get what exactly Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him to do, trust me, Shaitan will never have a sabil over you. So this is how it begins. It's a very good lesson for all of us that we should always be muttabi'in, la mubtadi'in, right? Muttabi'in means followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not those who are bringing and introducing new things other than that which was given to them by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So after that, Allah sent Nuh alayhi salam. And subhanAllah, they are so much attached to the shirk. In the way Nuh alayhi salam spent how long with them? 950 years, inviting them to Islam. Allah says, فَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا كَثِيرٌ لَا Allah says, فَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ Only a few accepted Nuh alayhi salam. Very, very few accepted Nuh alayhi salam. Allah called them qaleel. Some scholars said 80, some scholars said this and that, some scholars said even four, you know. Some scholars said only him and his family members. Wallahu a'lam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ma amana ma'ahu illa qaleel. Nobody except Nuh alayhi salam except a few. You get it? Nobody except a few. So this is what happens, you know, even in our time, you know, when people introduce different things, you know, and they take them as something which is part of our Sharia. However, there is nothing, you know, to support that from the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you see them holding upon this, you know, they will be very staunch. It's not easy to remove them from it. Not easy. Whatever you're going to tell them, they have their own evidences and justification. So as a Muslim, we're supposed to stick to that which was brought to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was the first messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا أَوَّلُ رَسُولٍ بَعَثَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ فَيَأْتُونَهُ So they will go to Nuh alayhi salam, based on the recommendation of Adam alayhi salam. فَيَقُولُ لَسْتُ هُنَالِكُمْ نَسْتُ هُنَاكُمْ They will tell them, please, إِشْفَعْ لَنَا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُ Please, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us relief. فَيَذْكُرُ ذَنْبَهُ فَيَسْتَحِي So he will remember his mistake, and then he will be shy of approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was the mistake mentioned by Nuh alayhi salam? قَالَ دَعَوْتُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِي He said, I made dua against my people. And subhanAllah, 950 years of da'wah, inviting people to the truth, and nobody is willing to accept except a few. But still, Nuh alayhi salam, you know, after 950 years, he made dua against them. But still, he worried so much about this dua. He looked at himself as somebody who is not patient. He wished that he was patient. Maybe they would accept. SubhanAllah. Look at high determination, you know. And you have the same thing in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the people of Ta'if threw stone on him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was advised by the angel of mountain, right? To just take two mountains next to Ta'if and just smash them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, I don't want that. SubhanAllah. He was bleeding. He's cleaning the blood from himself. You know, he was badly injured by these people. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not thinking about all of these. The angel of mountains that came, he even gave him a proposal of what to do. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not concerned of this. He doesn't want to see their destruction. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if they don't accept me today, inshallah, tomorrow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring somebody from their family members who will worship him alone. Look at high determination. He wasn't thinking about them. Their family members in the future, somebody will come and do it. That's how a da'i should be, you know. That's how a da'i should be. So he will remember that. فَيَسْتَحِي فَيَقُولُ وَيَذْكُرُ ذَنْبَهُ فَيَسْتَحِي فَيَقُلْ لَسْ وَيَذْكُرُ سُؤَالَهُ رَبَّهُ مَا لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ عَلْمٍ فَيَسْتَحِي And in some narration, he said, دَعَوْتُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِ And another narration, the khati'a is that he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, something that he shouldn't ask. What was that? إِنَّبْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved his people, and nobody was saved except those people in the ship. And he saw his son. He saw his son, and he advised the son to come to him, and the son doesn't want to come. You get it? He thinks he could be protected when he goes to what appears to be a mountain. It wasn't a mountain. Yeah. So this is on the flood, you know. So he did not want to agree, follow his father Nuh alayhi salam. فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ And he was destroyed. SubhanAllah, that's why Abdullah ibn Mubarak Or Imam Malik said, As-sunnatu safinatu Nuh. So sunnah is just like the ship of Nuh, alayhi salam. Man rakibaha, naja. Wa man takhallafa anha, gharik. Whoever ride on the sunnah, on the safinatu Nuh, will pass the test, will be protected. And whoever refused to go with the safinatu Nuh will be in trouble. Just like the whoever doesn't agree to go with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be in trouble. So he is telling us the similarity between the safinatu Nuh and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want to succeed in this dunya, you follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just like in the time of Nuh, you want to succeed, you follow Nuh alaihi wasallam in that ship. So Nuh alayhi salam told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the water subsided, you know, وَقِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ إِبْلَعِي مَاءَكِ وَيَا سَمَاءُ أَقْلِعِي وَغِيضَ الْمَاءُ وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ وَاسْتَوَتْ عَلَى الْجُودِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the heavens to stop bringing the water, and to the earth to take back what it took, you know, what it brought earlier. وَغِيضَ الْمَاءُ انْتَقَصَ الْمَاءُ, you know, the water subsided. And so the ship, you know, settled on the rock or mountain called Al-Judi, you know. So Nuh alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Ya Allah, my son is gone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you promised me not to destroy my family. Wa inna bani min ahli. And my son is also part of my family members. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Innahu laysa min ahlik. No, he wasn't. إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ, because he did action that is not righteous. So we learn from this that the connection of the deen, you know, al-alaqa al-diniya, you know, the connection that somebody has with you, al-alaqa al-diniya أقوى من al-alaqa al-nasabiyya wal-irqiyya. The relationship that you have with somebody which is based on the deen is far greater than the relationship you have which is based on the nasab. You have the nasab being connected to somebody. The deen that is linking you to that person is stronger. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the day of judgment, وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمْ الْأَسْبَابِ. Yeah, all of the nasab that you have is going to be gone. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ بَطَّعَ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ لَمْ يُسْرِعْ بِهِ مَنْ بَطَّعَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يُسْرِعْ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ. If your good deed don't have the capacity to take you, you know, to this high position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your nasab with somebody will never make it for you. So this comment that Nuh was making and telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my son also is my family member, but he got destroyed, and your promise is always true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, he is not. And do not ask me again something that you don't have knowledge of. So in this narration, Nuh was saying to the people when they requested from him to intercede for them, he would say, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dunya something that I don't have knowledge of. And then he would tell them, I can't do it. I can't do it. فَيَقُولْ إِئِتُ خَلِيلُ الرَّحْمَنِ. And then he would tell them, go to Khalil al-Rahman. Who is Khalil al-Rahman? Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim al-Khalil. He would tell them, go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. فَيَأْتُونَهُ. So they would go to Ibrahim. فيقول لست هناكم فيقول ائتوا موسى. In another narration, and this is a very summarized version of this hadith, in another, as if Ibn Kathir is narrating it with the ma'ana. In some narration, Ibrahim alayhi salam mentioned why is he not able to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I lied 3 times. Those thalasa kadibat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ibrahim never lied in his life except 3 times. Fintani fi dhatillah. 2 of them are for the sake of Allah. And another one is to protect his family. You get it? And if you look at them, actually all of them are lillah azza wa jal. Right? The first one is when he says, bal fa'alahu kabirum hadha. The second one, inni saqib. And when he destroyed all the idols and they ask him who did that, he says, ask the big one. Kabiruhum hadha fas'aluhum. You know, ask the big one, because he put the axe, you know, on the hammer on the shoulder of the big one. He said, ask them. He went to build upon this because they cannot ask you know, and then he will build upon it a natija, a result. Yeah, so they fail, you know, because they know that these idols cannot talk, and they tell them, how can you worship something that cannot even talk? You know. The second lie when he says, inni saqib, when they're going to their festival, you know, worshipping idols other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he told them, I'm sick. You get it? He just wanted them to excuse him so that he cannot participate in this. And the third one is when he told them that his wife was his sister. You remember the tyrant king, when he get inside the place, he told his wife, Sarah, he said, there is nobody who is a Muslim in this place except me and you. And therefore we have to be very careful. So the king asked him to send his wife to him. So he asked Ibrahim to come. Ibrahim went to the king before the wife went to the king. He asked him, who is she to you? He said, this is my sister. And he's doing tawriya. Yeah? Tawriya in Islam is halal if a person is oppressed. Only when you're oppressed then you can do tawriya. Otherwise, a person will be counted as a liar. What is tawriya? You use a word that has two meanings, right? One of them is too far and the other one is very close. So you intended the farthest one, but you know that the one that you're speaking to will understand the closest meaning, but you don't intend that. So Ibrahim told him, she's my sister, but what is she? What does he mean? Sister in Islam, because the wife of a person is his sister also. Yes, but as I said, tawriya is only permissible when a person is oppressed. That's why they do this in the mahkama, you know, when giving, you know, their testimony, sometimes they go for tawriya, you know. It doesn't tell the qadi the truth and the correct thing. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yaminuka ala niyati ala ma yusadduquka bihi sahibuk. Your oath, because you're going to take the oath in front of the judge, that should be based on what you are entrusted to say. You cannot hide something. You remember the case of that person who was standing on a land, and the judge asked him, this land, does it belong to you? He said, swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this land is yours. So what did he say? He said, أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ, you know, أَنَّ مَا وَطِئَتْ عَلَيْهِ قَدَمَايَ مِلْكُلِّ. He said, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that what my feet stepped on is mine. And he was intending his shoes, you know. Yeah, because the feet directly step on. And the judge was asking him for what? For the land. He said, this land, you claim that this is your land. Swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this land belongs to you. He says, I swear by Allah that whatever my feet steps on is mine. And he is referring to his shoes, not the land. Yeah, so that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to avoid these type of games being played, you know, by those criminals, he said, "Yaminuka ala ma yusaddiquka bihi sahibuk, wal yaminu ala niyati al-mustahlif." You can only swear by Allah based on what you are told to swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. You cannot have any other intention or meaning. That's why the judge has to make it very clear in the way no game is going to be played. Yeah, when he said it, we will understand vividly that yes, he intended what we want. So Ibrahim said he lied, you know, three times in his life, and none of these are wrong. If you look at them, they are just tawriya, you know. And subhanAllah, this is a very good lesson for us, you know, because lying in Islam cannot be tolerated at all. There is no place where Islam tolerates lying. Unless if a person is in a state of necessity, then he can lie to save his life or to save the life of his family members or his brothers. You know, then lying is okay. Or lying during the battle, or lying to the wife, or lying to reconcile between two people. Other than that, lying is rejected in all of its forms. So Ibn Musayyib said, كُلُّ ذَنْبٍ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ كَفَارًا فَأَمْرُهُ هَيِّنٌ. Any sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made kafara for, that's mean it is something simple that you can settle here in this dunya. Not simple, you know, in the sense of taking it for granted. No, whatever Allah doesn't want, you should stay away from it. But if Allah says you can pay something to settle the case here, that means you can do something to get yourself relieved from the evil consequence of the sin. But those ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make any kafara for them, these are the most dangerous ones. Lying is one of them. Again, that's why he says, فَلِذَلِكَ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لِلْكَذِبِ كَفَارًا. And the person doesn't need to lie in his life in most instances. That's why in our time, the advice is just try to be following the laws, law-abiding person. Yeah, to avoid getting into trouble with those people who might be asking you for a bribe and then you get trapped, whether to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to please them. So at the first place, what must you do? Listen to what the Prophet Allah advised you to do. Obey your leaders, as long as they don't ask you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of these things that are getting us into trouble, usually they are normal things, you know, which we are supposed to be obeying, you know, in everything. Because these are the political matters that are intended to bring good to the life of the citizen and also to protect a life. So a person shouldn't break the law. And try always to be up to date so that, being like Allah, you will not be trapped in making a decision whereby you have to take the lesser of the two evils. And then we don't know which one is lesser to you and which one is lesser to the Sharia. And is it even lesser of the two evils, or both of them are evils that have to be avoided? In most instances, both of them are evils that have to be avoided. You have to go for the consequences because you're the one who invited the thing. So Ibrahim lied only 3 times and all of them are tawriya. And in our life, you can see the total difference is taking place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good. So Ibrahim will tell them, I can't do that. And then he will remember those things that he did. He will say, lastu hunalikum qala aitu Musa abdan kallamahu Allah wa a'atahu at-Tawrah. He will tell them, I can't do it. But go to Musa alayhi salam. And he will tell us, why is he sending us to Musa alayhi salam? Because Musa was abdun kallamahu Allah, the person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to in this life, in Tur Sina, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to him. وَعَطَاهُ التَّوْرَةِ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him at-Tawrah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him and he gave him at-Tawrah. Yeah, so he is the Kalim of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa and he spoke to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he spoke to Adam alayhi wa sallam. This is before death. After death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to many people because that was okay. Yeah, that was okay. But in this life, only selected people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to. And we got only 3. Musa alayhi wa sallam, Adam alayhi wa sallam, and Nabiyuna Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he will tell them, go to Musa alayhi salam, because Allah spoke to him and he gave him a Torah. فَيَقُولُ لَسْتُ هُنَاكُمْ And then he will tell them, I can't do that. فَيَقُولُ لَسْتُ هُنَاكُمْ فَيَذْكُرُ قَتْلَ النَّفْسِ بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ فَيَسْتَحْيِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ And then he will remember that there was a time when he killed somebody بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ. You remember? وَدَخَلَ Assalamu alaikum. Aib, ya mashaykh. And in Surah Al-Qasas, ودخل المدينة على حين غفلة من أهلها فوجد فيها رجلين يقتتلان هذا من شيعته وهذا من عدوه. This is a reference here. So that story was detailed in Surah Al-Qasas when he found that person who was fighting somebody from his tribe. And فَوَكَّزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ You know, Musa hit him and he died instantly. So that was the reference here. That he killed a person بغير نفس, because that person did not kill anyone. So Musa killed him. And it wasn't intentional. Musa did not intend to kill him. It was by accident. He hit him and the man died. And he did istighfar immediately. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala faghafar Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same place he said faghafar Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his repentance. You get it? So that's a very interesting story mentioned in Surah 2 Al-Qasas. So he is referring to the story here. That's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him back to Fir'aun, he said, Inni qataltu minhum nafsan fa'akhafu an yaqtulu. I killed somebody from them and I'm afraid if I go to them, they will kill me, Ya Allah. Yeah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send him and ask him to go. We will protect him. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also sent, together with Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, based on his request. He was the one who requested that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send a senate for him, especially due to the fact that he said sometimes it's not easy for him to explain things. He has some deficiency when he speaks. What was the cause of that deficiency that he is? That's why he said, وَحْلُلْ وَقَرَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي. Many of the Mufassirin mentioned that when Fir'aun was giving him a choice between a piece of fire and tamr, he chose fire. So it burned his tongue and it affected his speech in the future. So many of them said he was referring to this. Yeah. So وَأَخِي هَارُونَ هُوَ أَفْصَحُ مِنِّي لِسَانًا فَأَرْسِلْهُ مَنْ يَرِدْ أَنْ يُصَدِّقُنِي إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَنْ يُكَذِّبُونَ. So he says Harun is more eloquent, you know, eloquent than me in terms of speech. So he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support him with Harun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ قَدْ أُوتِيتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى. One of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he made Harun a prophet together with Musa alayhi salam as a support, you know, for what Musa was doing. You know, when he's rejected, Harun will be accepting him and supporting him to convey the message in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So he will tell them, I killed somebody, قَتَلْتُ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ. And because of that, he will tell them, I can't do anything. فَيَسْتَحْيِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. So he will be shy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for shafa'a. فَيَقُولُ ائْتُوا عِيسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ وَكَلِمَتُهُ وَرُوحُهُ. Is a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the word of Allah? Kun fayakun. Yeah, that's the word of Allah. Yeah, it's not like what the Christian is believing. You know, وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى اللَّهُ أَمَّا يَقُولُنَ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. So is a kalimatullahi azza wa jalla. Allah says, إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمْ خَلَقَهُ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam from clay, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, be, and he was. And Isa also alayhi salam was like that. Allah sent Jibreel alayhi salam to cast the ruh, you know, into that place, and Isa alayhi salam was created. Being created without the intervention of a male doesn't qualify a person to have a divinity. You know, it doesn't qualify a person to have any of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why somebody was right when he says, if you're going to believe in that, the Christians should be worshipping who? They should be worshipping Adam alayhi salam. Yeah, because Adam doesn't have father, doesn't have mother. And actually, even the creation of Hawa is more complicated than Isa alayhi salam. I mean, there is nothing complicated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I'm just referring to us. You know? Yeah, because nowadays, the technology, those test tube and surrogate and IVF, all those things that they go and do the process in the lab and all of these things, you know, without having the direct intervention of the male. The intervention is there, but not direct. So you can have a child without having the direct, you know, that is somebody who transfer the thing and put it in the womb of that sister, but not direct contact. But there's no way for you to imagine having a child, somebody from male. You know, there's no way for you to imagine that. You know, Hawa came from Adam alayhi salam. You know, Hawa came from Adam alayhi salam. None of them qualifies to be worshipped. They're all human beings. Isa alayhi salam, Adam alayhi salam, Hawa alayhi salam. None of them, you know, qualifies to be worshipped. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one. The first time when somebody says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a child, Allah says, تَكَادُ السَّمَوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّا أَنْ دَعُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدَا وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَنِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدَا إِنْ كُلُّ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِي الرَّحْمَنِ عَبْدًا. You know, the heavens and the earth and the mountains, none of them was able to be standing on its own position. They're almost going to be destroyed because somebody said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a child. That's how bad is this. You know, but at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of his mercy, he invited them, you know, to Islam in a very soft, you know, invitation. Not harsh invitation, soft invitation. He says, أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Why can't they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek His forgiveness? You know? SubhanAllah. So, Isa is the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his slave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is the soul from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رُوحٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Okay, it's not part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, it's a ruh from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's not part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he would tell them, go to Isa alayhi salam. So they went, they would go to Isa alayhi salam, and Isa would apologize and tell them, I can't. Although in many places the Prophet said Isa would not mention any khati'ah, but he would tell them, I can't. Therefore go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. عَبْدٍ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمْ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ وَمَا تَأَخَّرْ فَيَأْتُونِي. He would tell them, go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's Abdullah, that Allah forgive all of his sins, the one that he did and the one that he might be doing in the future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive everything. SubhanAllah. Nobody's like this. Except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any mistake that might happen in the future from Rasulullah, Allah forgive them. In Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَافَ اللَّهُ عَنْكَ. He did not mention the mistake. He started with the afu first. He says, عَافَ اللَّهُ عَنْكَ. Allah forgive you. Allah accept your istighfar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive. لِمَا أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ. But why did you give them permission? You know, the mistake is mentioned after the forgiveness. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Isa alayhi salam will tell us to go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَيَأْتُونِي. So they will come to me, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. فَأَنْطَلِقُ حَتَّى أَسْتَأْذِنَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّي فَيَأْذَنَ لِي فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُ رَبِّي قَعَدْتُ سَاجِدًا فَيَدَعَنِي مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يُقَالْ اِرْفَعْ رَأْسَكْ وَسَلْ تُعْطَهْ وَقُلْ يُسْمَ وَشْفَعْ تُشَفَّعْ. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the arsh. He said, until the time I see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, I will make sujood. I will fall down in a sujood. In some narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will inspire me with attributes in the Muhammad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, this is the first time I heard. This is the first time I come across these attributes and names. SubhanAllah. These are the only names that could be mentioned on the Day of Judgment for us to get that mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this shows that the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not only 99. Names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are much more greater than 99. But among the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are 99 that if you remember them, you memorize them, you put them into action, you believe in them, you go to paradise bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla. But it doesn't mean that the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are only 99. No, that was a joke. Names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are much greater than that. The hadith that give the list of the name is weak narration. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to mention in the dua, in the qiyam al-layl, أَسْأَلُكَ بِكُلِّ اسْمٍ هُوَ لَكَ سَمَّيْتَ بِهِ نَفْسَكَ أَوْ عَلَّمْتَهُ أَحَدًا مِنْ خَلْقِكَ أَوْ اسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمٍ غَيْبِ عِنْدَكَ. He used to say that, I'm asking you, بِكُلِّ اسْمٍ هُوَ لَكَ سَمَّيْتَ بِهِ نَفْسَكَ. Or the one that you taught somebody which you did not share the knowledge with others. You know, or the names which nobody knows except you. That's been there are names which nobody knows them except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those 99 names are given to us. They're scattered from, they're scattered in the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go to that place and he will make sujood and he will ask Allah, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with those Muhammad. And then he said, Allah will leave me, you know, for the amount of time he wants me to be there, saying those words. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, irfa rasak, raise up your head, stand up. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, ask whatever you want. You will be given whatever you ask. And say whatever you want to say, you will be heard. And intercede, your intercession will be accepted. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَأَرْفَعُ رَأْسِي فَأَحْمَدُهُ بِمَحَامِدَ يُعَلِّمُنِيهِ ثُمَّ أَشْفَعُ فَيَحُدَّ لِي حدا فأدخلهم الجنة. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inspire me with those Muhammad. You know, I will call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let me do the shafa'ah. And then I will ask him about my ummah, ya Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him an amount and ask him to take them to paradise. And this amount actually is not by number, you know, take one, two, three, no. It's by description. Whoever has iman like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him to take them to paradise. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he will go and take them to paradise. And then he will come back again until the time he cannot recognize anyone that is inside hell, because the signs of iman are gone completely. But there are still some people who still have iman, but it's so little, so tiny, in the way it could not be seen. And this is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would do his own shafa'ah from him to himself, right? Because Allah doesn't do shafa'ah to anyone, but from him to himself. So he will put his hand, in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put his hand inside the hell, and whatever is catched by the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them out of hell and put them in paradise. When they go out of hell, they will be like the black coal, the charcoal. So, I mean, in the form of human being. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put them in the Nahrul Haya, the river of life. And the people of Jannah, according to some narration, will pour on them the water of life. And then the flesh will come back again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them to paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will get them inside paradise. And this will take place, you know, as I said, until the time he cannot recognize anyone. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do his own shafa'ah, according to this hadith of Sahih Muslim. قَالَ فَأَقُولُ مَا بَقِيَ فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا مَنْ حَبَسَهُ الْقُرْآنِ وَوَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ الْخُلُودِ. Nobody left, you know, after that shafa'ah, there will be a time when nobody will remain in hell except those who are supposed to be there forever and ever. Quran kept, meaning they don't do the right thing, and because of that, they went to hell. And those who are supposed to stay there for forever and ever. Because hell is being categorized into two categories. Side which is only for those who accept Islam, but they did a wrongdoing. So this place will be empty one day, because no Muslim will remain in hell forever. And you have the Narul Kufar, the side of the Kufar, this one will remain forever and ever. And there is going to be always people inside this place and the Hijara. So in this hadith, the Shahid, you know, and the reason why Ibn Kathir brought it is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he talks about Nuh, Anta awwalur rusul, you are the first messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anta awwalur rusul. When the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning Adam, not Nuh alayhi salam, when they approach Adam, they told him, "Anta Abul Bashar, khalaqaka Allahu biyadihi wa asjada laka malaikatuhu, huwa 'allamaka asma'a kulla shay." So the shahid is, "Wa 'allamaka asma'a kulla shay." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught you the names of everything. So Allah says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. So inshallah, the balance of this ayah will be dealt with in the next class, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla. And next class will be the last physical class, inshallah. Next Thursday, right? Why? Adam, I cannot travel. I have to be staying in one. I will be traveling. I will be back, inshallah, 1st September. Inshallah. The classes will continue, but online from distance, inshallah. Right. Same time, inshallah. So next week will be the last physical class, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Sheikh, I have two questions, if you would allow it. Assalamu alaikum.
Sahib al-su'alayn.
Now, Sheikh, the first question, we knew that the Rasul that was sent to Bani Israel was Musa alayhi salam, and then Isa alayhi salam. But Allah said, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا لَقَدْ أخذنا ميثاق بني إسرائيل وأرسلنا إليهم رسلا كلما جاءهم رسول لا تحوى أنفسهم ففريقا كذبوا وفريقا يقتلون. So some of the rusul of Bani Israel were killed. So were there any messenger other than Musa?
A lot actually. Musa was not the first messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Bani Israel.
No.
Yeah. Musa was a Jew. Yusuf alayhi salam was from Bani Israel. Because who was Israel?
Yaqub
alayhi salam. And Yusuf is son of Yaqub. So starting from Yusuf and whoever comes after Yusuf alayhi salam. So, but it looks like in that area, Yusuf, after Yusuf, most likely Musa was the next one. You get it? They have a lot of anbiya from amongst them. A lot of anbiya. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِجْعَلَ فِيكُمْ أَنْبِيَا وَجَعَلَكُمْ مُلُوكًا وَآتَاكُمْ مَا لَمْ يُؤْتِ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. That's why Musa alayhi salam told them, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ يوسف من قبل بالبينات فما زلتم في شك مما جاءكم به حتى إذا هلك قلتم لن يبعث الله من بعده رسولا. So Yusuf was there before Musa alayhi salam. You get it? And then Musa comes, and then you have Yusha bin Nun also was made a prophet. You have Harun alayhi salam, Dawood, Suleiman, you know, many prophets, Yahya, Zakariya, many. Many prophets. Elias, many prophets from the Jew. Actually, wallahu alam, but they mentioned that after Ibrahim alayhi salam, all the prophets and the messengers, they're from his root. You get it? They're from his descendants.
Yeah.
Wallahu alam. That's why they call him Abul Anbiya. You get it? But for sure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed the prophecy in the Jews.
Yeah.
Nobody got this more than them. Yeah. You get it? Yeah, because they are from the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Just like the Arab, the side of Ismail alayhi salam. They're also exactly from Ibrahim alayhi salam.
Sheikh
you get it? Yeah. So we have a lot of prophets.
Yeah.
So there is no contradiction between what you are saying and what you assume to be. Yeah.
Sheikh, but then we separate, we categorize between prophets and messengers, anbiya and rusul.
Mm.
But Allah said, وَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ رُسُولًا.
How much you need for you to establish jama? Three. Yusuf.
Musa.
Was it Rasul?
No.
Salam.
No.
If you fail, we will change your name to who? Kareem. Omar. Yusuf. Was he Rasul?
No.
Musa. Was he Rasul? Yusha ibn Nun. Was he Rasul? Harun. Yusha ibn Nun. So Rasul.
Were Rasul?
Rasul.
No.
Rasul.
No.
Wake up, Rasul.
No.
Yeah. You went before even jihad.
I thought he was Nabi.
No. Was Rasul? Yeah, even for jihad.
A Nabi cannot go for jihad?
No, they went for jihad, no problem. But they went for jihad inviting people, fighting an enemy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. He was Rasul.
Harun.
How much? I lost the count.
Five,
right? Harun was Rasul, right? Dawood, Suleiman, Rasul. Ilyas, Rasul. You get it? Zakaria, Rasul. Isa, Rasul. Yahya, Rasul.
No.
Enough to establish. كلما جاءهم
رسول. جزاك الله خيرا شيخ. Second question. So Nuh عليه السلام, he made dua against his people. But did Allah not tell him, لا يؤمن من قومك إلا من قد آمن. So Allah has told him that.
That's at the last minute.
So people.
It wasn't in the first place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him, okay Nuh, go to your people, but لا يؤمن من قومك إلا من قد آمن. It was in the first.
And it
reached the last time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, لَنْ يُؤْمِنَ مِنْ قَوْمِكَ إِلَّا مَنْ قَدْ آمَنَ. Again, and that's the last minute. And most probably after the dua. Probably after the dua.
Oh, okay.
No. Allah told him, لَنْ يُؤْمِنَ مِنْ قَوْمِكَ إِلَّا مَنْ قَدْ آمَنَ. وَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ. Then don't be depressed. Your job is being completed. You know? That's why it's good to remember these, because success in the da'wah, it doesn't mean how many people are following you. If you say your success is marked based on how many people follow you, which is the basis nowadays, people mark my success, your success, based on how many people follow you in the social media or lectures or whatever, this is the success. But this is not true. Because if this is the basis of the success, then all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fail, except a few. like Musa and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but most of them fail. Because we have prophets who nobody even accepted them. You get it? Yeah, but this is not the base. The basis of success in the da'wah is you identifying the truth, holding upon the truth, putting it into action, inviting people to that truth, and observe patience until you meet Allah. That's what Allah wants you to do. Somebody accept, nobody's accepting, it's not your job. Your job is to convey the message with wisdom. They accept, they don't accept, you try your best. Don't lose hope, always go. Yeah. That's why when they told those Jews, when they were advising people, people not to catch fish. And by the way, I remember also another prophet, that prophet, min ba'di Musa, wasn't Yusha ibn Nun. Yeah, it was another prophet, actually. Yeah. But anyway, because the time, his time is the time of Dawood, and you know, between Musa and Dawood alayhi salam, a lot of years. Anyway, so what was I talking about before?
Ashab
al-Sabt. So you see, when they reminded them, somebody was telling them, why do you waste your time to remind people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala muhlikum aw mu'adhibum adaban shadida? You're wasting your time. These people will be destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do you remind them? قالوا معذرة إلى ربكم ولعلهم يتقوا. We want to have excuse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't know. Maybe they will accept it tomorrow. Fir'aun, Allah knows Fir'aun would never accept Islam. But he says to Musa alayhi salam, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Because as human beings, we are supposed to act as human beings. We don't accept, we have done our part. So it's a very interesting part of, part of the history that we really need to study. Tolerant, how to be patient, and how to use wisdom in da'wah and not to lose hope. What of a people? Yeah, I want when I go to invite people and I talk to them, I get good reaction. Yes, it's good, alhamdulillah, but not always it's like that. Yeah, sometimes you get a harsh reaction. You know, this da'wah claims the life of many people, actually. Many people, they don't do anything. They just say, worship Allah. They lost their life. They don't lose because with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they got a better place. But khalas, they had to leave this dunya because criminals don't want something like this. They see them as a threat. You get it? So sometimes it doesn't come with ease. Yeah? That's why La ilaha illallah is not free. It has a price to be paid. The least is that sometimes you will be living alone. Allah grant us good.
As-salamu alaykum, Shaykh. Is it okay to read the books of Ja'far al-Sadiq?
Who is that?
Ja'far al-Sadiq.
Ja'far al-Sadiq. Ja'far al-Sadiq is okay, it's no problem. But if you can find correct narrations from him, yeah, you have the Shia, they have their own version. If you find the correct narration from him, then it's okay.
Okay.
He's an alim. Very big scholar. That's why Tanaza fi al Sunnah wa Shia. We claim that he is our Imam, and that's true. Not their Imam.
Can I get the other mic?
It's one of the uniqueness of al Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
It's a magnet.
Does it affect the recording? No? So I can just hang it like this. Also, we include the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are also Ahlul Bayt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them Ahlul Bayt in the Quran. Yeah. So we respect all the companions, especially Ahlul Bayt amongst them. Yeah, we respect them, especially Ahlul Bayt amongst them. You know, so that's where we become unique, different from the Shia and different from the Nawasib. Those one they love some of the Ahlul Bayt, they rejected some. They didn't love them all. They loved some and they rejected some. And the Nawasib, and they rejected all the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam except a few. The Nawasib are on. Is there?
Yeah.
But who is this person that owe you 500 and never paid until now? Internet title is the one who owes him 500. So I want to see who is this person that up to date doesn't want to pay him his money. No. I think we should pay on his behalf. You get it, Adam? We're different also from the... You get it? They hate Ahlulbayt. In the middle, where we love all of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, with no exception. And on top of these companions...
أحسن الله إليكم في الدنيا والآخرة. What exactly is the khitbah stage? When he is in this stage, is it haram to look at other offers from other sisters? Is it bad to have a khitbah and then the nikah very later on?
It's better for a person not to become la'ab. Like, Muslims should be serious. And usually these type of people, Allah tested them. You know, test them at the end of the day. You cannot play with the life and the honor of the sisters. Go to this house, they trust you, you see, went for the Ruya Sharia, and then go to another house, you know, without having a good intention to fix what you want. How many sisters we have on earth?
Billions.
Yusuf says billions. I'm talking about the Muslims. Yeah, maybe 1 billion. Wallahu alam, because they are more than the brothers, right? When is, if his attitude is like this, okay, go to this one, after everything, the confirmation has been given, but his eyes is still on others also, what is this? Well, this is a big eye actually, because sometimes they might reject everyone and confirm you only. They stop everyone from coming. Yeah, because of you. They see seriousness from your side. Yeah, that's why a person has to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Should do all the research first before he approach the parent. Yeah, you see a sister that you want to marry, go do all of your research. Select also, you have billion, 1 billion, Adam said. You know, select one of those billions. Yeah. Confirm that this is what you want. Yeah, go to the house and stick to that. Can't play game with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today you're here, tomorrow you're here. And when are you going to finish? You Allah, trust me, whatever you say, yeah, you want the most beautiful one, you see somebody now, yeah, tomorrow also you're going to see another one, you say, oh, this one is not. Okay, that one. Tomorrow also you see another one, this one is not, that one. Until when? You're going to stop doing this, you know. So this is life, yeah. This is really life. A person should be serious, yeah. Because these are very serious matters in Islam. Once you are ready, you select the person you want, then just go and approach the family, and everything will be done by Allah. Allah grant us good.
When a brother is certain about a sister, but the family thinks it's best to wait for some time as they are still studying in different countries, is it better for him to wait maybe 1 year?
It depends on the sister and his need. Yeah, if the sister is very good, finding somebody like her is not easy. Yeah, that it was waited. You can wait 1 year, it's going to pass, inshallah. Yeah, I will advise him to wait. Unless
wait.
I will advise him to wait.
What difference does it make?
Yeah, because when you rush in marriage, what we're doing is sometimes we rush. You know, and I can be patient, but I rush. So you're just going to select anyhow, based on the pretty looking, and in a few days, life is going to be normal between you and them. You see just a normal person, she sees a normal person, you see a normal person. This is when the real, you know, mushkila is going to begin. Yeah. And then a person will start complaining, will start, you know, saying that most likely he did not make the right choice. Yeah. That's why in marriage, I really advise a person not to rush in marriage. The sister shouldn't rush, the brother shouldn't rush. Open your eyes and relax. Do the proper research. Because trust me, in a few days, marriage is going to become normal. The only one whose marriage is not normal is the one that does it according to the advice of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Trust me, they live 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, you know, but they still see each other as if this is the very early days of their marriages. Very lovely life. Because what combined them is not that physical appearance. It is part of it, but the main one is attitude and manners and religion, good life. Wallahi uqsimu laka billah. If you are somebody who has, you know, values, you will never enjoy living with a woman that is having bad manners. And she will never enjoy living with a man that has bad manners. Both are going to regret. Yeah, that's the reason why I really advise a person not to rush in marriage. except the person who knows by himself that if he doesn't marry, he will go and get into trouble. He might commit zina. Yeah, in this case, let him just go and marry anyhow to protect himself. He can fix the issue later on. You get it? Because this one is bigger. Yeah, committing zina is corrupting himself and corrupting the community. You get it? But other than that, I advise the person to relax. So back to that question. It depends on the sister and the brother himself. If the sister is really good, and finding somebody like her in the community where he lives is not easy. Yeah, it's worth waiting. 1 year is not that far. Easy light Allah will go and pass. Yeah, if he can convince them to let him marry, you know, and then they can, you know, have the zafaf after he graduates, that would be good. Easy light Azza wa Jal. If he can afford controlling his thinking, that would be the best. If not, then just wait until you graduate and then marry. However, if a person knows himself that he cannot be patient, he might get into trouble by doing the wrong thing, then in this case, he has to tell them, I can't wait, and go and look for somebody else. You know. Other than that, waiting is better, inshallah.
The next question.
But if the sister is just a normal person, or the brother is just a normal person, I will advise the partner just to skip them and go and look for somebody else. You know, why would you wait for something that you don't see any sign of success in living with him in the future? May Allah grant us good.
The next question, Sheikh. May I request for a dalil on why it is better to speed up the nikah after the khitbah if both parties are satisfied?
Do you need dalil in this? Do we need dalil in this? I should actually ask him, what is the dalil to delay the marriage? Because the more you delay, the more doors are open, right? Isn't it we receive a lot of questions here? Can I teach my future spouse? Sometimes can we have some discussion, you know, revision of the Islamic classes? I just want to send her links to the Islamic classes, you know. She doesn't know that those classes exist. You get it? All of these things. And then the more you delay, the more you come back looking for fatwa about what you're doing between you and her. You will not feel comfortable. She doesn't feel comfortable. And you guys are punishing each other. And sometimes, subhanAllah, they go around together. Sometimes they work together. And sometimes they do sins before the marriage. Sometimes they commit sins before the marriage. And let me tell you something which I hope you guys will understand it correctly. Trust me. The more you delay the marriage and you talk to the future spouse, the more you talk to her, the less shyness you have in her and respect you're going to have from her. And she also going to have less respect, you know, from you when you both of you marry. And you know, in marriage, there is this secret that this prestige has to remain between you and your wife in the way she comes to your house, not understanding fully who you are. She's a bit sensitive and scared of what exactly this person is. And you are also like that because you don't know who she is. This is needed in the house. That's why it's good the first day you sit down and you tell her, you know, ask her about who she is, what does she want. She also asks you the same question. You plan your life from that day because none of you knows each other that much. This is when you start learning. You need this. Then the respect, trust me, the respect is going to be very high. Contrary to the person that lived with that person for years. And sometimes they have clashes. Sometimes it's so funny, even some people have to go and reconcile between them. They're not husband and wife. Which reconciliation are you talking about? They get the idea. And then later on when they marry, and they face problem from the early days, and they will be asking why. You cheated, I cheat, you know. And who cheated him? They cheated themselves. That's why the best, and this is the only logical thing, once you identify the person you want, and the family agree with you, just tell them I'm ready to go. That's it. Why do you delay and punish yourself and open the doors for shaitan to come and give you a lot of waswasa? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. We have 2 minutes left. I have an appointment, I have to leave.
The next question, Sheikh. In the case the young adolescents message each other with parents aware about it and the phone is accessible to parents of the sister, is it sinful?
The parents shouldn't accept. The right and the wrong are not dependent on the acceptance of the parents. It's wrong they're putting their daughter in the very dangerous situation. When there is no necessity, they shouldn't contact each other. Why can't they just let them marry? Why? Yeah? If they already agree, just let them marry. Case closed.
And the next question, Sheikh. What is the ruling on food served at the masjid after a tahleel? Can we consume it in case we have elderly with us that say we should have like brotherhood and sit down together?
I don't know what is that food is all about. Next question.
The next question from Sister Mooney. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, Sheikh. Ahsan Allahu ilaykum fi dunya wal akhirah. A sister would like to ask if she bought lots of Islamic books and she isn't able to read all of it and not sure when she can complete it. She would like to ask if she will be questioned about it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
No problem. When you buy books, write these books at waqf. If you don't benefit from these books, inshallah, somebody else is going to benefit from them. When you buy books, try to benefit from them or give it to somebody who will benefit from them. And to address that question, you know, the first one that somebody asked, I'll give you a general answer to that, inshallah. Whatever you believe to be correct, you get it? Whatever you believe to be correct, any gathering that you believe to be correct, and there is food or drinks being presented, it's okay for a person to eat. But if you believe that the gathering itself is wrong, the way people are making it, any gathering, then the food is being presented in that garden also will take the same hukum. A person should avoid it and stay away from it. You know.
Two more questions.
That principle will benefit you more, inshallah. Yes.
The next question. Relationship based on deen is greater than nasab.
Yes.
Does it mean that giving sadaqah to someone better in taqwa based on deen is better than
of
to
course,
better related?
Of course, you give charity to somebody who is very dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's better than giving it to a loser.
And the next question. Now they close the masjid after Isha. Should we all make suggestion to the masjid's committee that it should be opened at all the time? How should we address this?
No, it depends,
this?
Because usually when they close the masjid, there must be objective. Yeah, the person should go to the masjid committee and ask them. There must be objective. People are using the masajid sometimes in the wrong thing because no supervision there. Yeah? They're using it to commit wrongdoing. Why would the masjid be open? Since you have criminals there to do the wrong thing in there. You get it? So that's why I understand in some places when they close the masajid, there is an objective behind that because there are some who are not using it in the correct way. Do you get the idea? Yeah, so to avoid that, then some people are going to be affected. The lesser of the two evils. Which one is worse? Having something bad in the masjid being committed or stopping the people resting from, in the masjid? As long as we let them pray, they read Quran, you know, we just close it after at night, after Isha. You know, to make sure that nobody is using the masjid for wrong doings and wrong activities. This one is better. You get it? So I can see why it is closed. And although we know in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, it wasn't like that. But you have to understand that the time of the Prophet ﷺ was not like our time. Those who are going to the masjid, they are the good ones. They don't use masjid as a place where they go and do the wrong thing. May Allah grant us good. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.